Light on Praise from Israel. Best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and television host, Sheila Walsh. And now your host, Matt and Lori Crouch.
Praise comes to you today from the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's going to be kind of an interesting ministry time, and I wanted to kind of walk into it to show you that not only do I have my beautiful wife with me, Lori, Sheila Walsh, you guys, I have a feeling that that was about all I'm going to actually say on this entire program, because when we get into this,
make yourself comfortable.
I think I'm done now. So welcome to Praise, Sheila.
We are better together.
Come on.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
So thank you for joining us today. Now, Sheila.
Yes.
Let's get down to it. Okay. Where are we?
This is so beautiful to be sitting on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. I mean, honestly, it's like I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. And somebody gave me a picture Bible. And it had, and I looked at all the pictures. And then I went to the maps. And I'm trying to work out, okay, so if Jesus walked from there to there, how long did that take him? But suddenly I'm here. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah. I look when we fly over the Jordan wilderness, you know, and you see all that and just think about him being out in the desert, all that anonymous time that he had out in the wilderness, just him and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That's kind of amazing. What
do you actually want to get into today? And then I have just kind of one more little comment, and then I'll fade into the background here. Yeah.
I don't believe that. My overall thing that I'm going to be taking home is, if you have felt overlooked, forgotten, anonymous, unworthy all your life, Jesus sees you. Not only sees you, but seeks you out. Mm. And that's never been clearer to me than since I set my feet down on the soil of Israel, and particularly here in Galilee, where so much of his ministry took place.
Wow. Now, what we need to tell everyone is that this is Sheila's first trip to Israel, and she's doing a super fun project, I think, right now. It's your first time to Israel, and it's called?
Your first time in Israel.
Yep, something like that. We thought we'd just go with something really original and deep and profound, you know, that would be hard for people
Sheila
to work
goes
out.
To Israel.
Yeah, I love it. You know, what we're gonna unpack a lot of this stuff and what you're talking about. But a picture's worth a thousand words. A little clip, a sneak peek at your first time in Israel. Watch this.
All my life, I've longed to visit Israel. I could only imagine what a fantastic experience that would be, to actually walk where Jesus walked. And now, for the first time, I'm about to set off on that trip, and I want to take you with me. We'll fly from here in the US to Tel Aviv, Israel's main port city. We'll drive to Tiberias by the Sea of Galilee, to Magdala, to the Mount of Beatitudes, and of course, to Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. I'm going to meet some new friends who'll take me to places I'd never find on my own and unpack the depth of stories I've known since I was a child growing up in Scotland. I'm so excited. Well, there's no better place to start than in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Today, I'm going to be joined by Mati Shoshani, who's going to take me through the ancient gates and into the old city of Jerusalem. Let's walk where Jesus walked.
made it. I'm finally here in Jerusalem. I am so excited, a little jet lagged and totally wearing the wrong shoes. And if you ever come to Israel, wear flat shoes. Behind me, can you see this? I love Jerusalem. I have to get a photo of that. But I'm waiting for a friend who's going to come meet me. His name is Mati. And actually, here he is.
Hey, Sheila.
Oh, thank you for meeting me here.
Good to see you.
This is amazing.
Hey, welcome to Jerusalem.
All my life, I've wanted to come, and this is the first time that my feet have been on this soil.
Well, listen, this is the place to start.
Yeah.
We're right in the heart of Jerusalem. The old city is behind us. We're about to walk down through Jaffa Gate and see what this city has to offer.
Before we go into the old city, is there any way you'd take a picture of me in
front
of the sign?
Let's do it. Let me just figure this out.
Ta-da!
3, 2. Perfect. Let's do this.
Let's go!
Sheila, let me contrast our situation here. I've been to Israel maybe 150 times.
Oh, wow.
I've been here since 1975. I've been coming. My parents have brought numerous tours. TBN used to take 2 or 3 tours a year. So from the time I was a teenager, I've been coming. And I have to make an observation, though. I don't think I've ever sat next to the Sea of Galilee on a more beautiful day and a more picturesque day. And the Sea of Galilee over the last few years has even had a resurgence. The water levels are super high, super vibrant. The sea is, look, this is the most picturesque moment I've about ever kind of experienced at the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it reminds me, in taking your subject, it reminds me of what got my mother out of depression. She had a testimony of depression. And she said she was walking along the shore and saw Jesus kind of with the disciples. And as she walked up in this kind of vision, Jesus looked at her and began to laugh and be very joyful. And there was this kind of belly laugh kind of thing. My mom woke up laughing from this dream, and she was delivered.
She was in serious depression.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, she tells of not being able to get out of bed for days and days and days.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying, as a young kid, he said, "I didn't see my mom for
it was a,
days
it,
and days at a
so
time."
So sitting here with you in a ministry program on this zero neutral weather moment, the wind's not, there's not a breeze, it's quiet, it's still, and all you think about when you think of, when I think about the Sea of Galilee is the storm that Jesus, you know, calmed.
So
and there's nothing to calm today. This is a good day to be here and get into what you want to get into. This is amazing afternoon.
I want to get into that storm.
Okay.
But first of all, I want to tell you a kind of experience I had that was a little bit like your mom's. But it was Jesus speaking to shame in me. I grew up with a profound sense of shame because of my father's violence before his death by suicide. And as a young girl, I remember thinking, if your own father, who once loved you so much, could suddenly seem to hate you, there's something wrong with you. And when I graduated from, in Scotland, we don't have elementary, middle, and high school. We have primary school and secondary school. And when you graduate primary school, you're 12. And there's a big party, and you feel like you're so grown up because you're the biggest kids in the school. Mm-hmm. And there was a dance, and the fashion that year was for very straight, like short dresses, but, you know, really straight. And I knew my mom couldn't afford a dress like that. And so I decided I just wouldn't go. So I came home from school one day, and my mom said, "Sheila, I've got you a dress." And I was like, "No, you're kidding." She said, "It's on your bed." So I ran upstairs, and I opened the door, and there on the bed was the wrong dress. It was It went in at the waist and it had layers and layers of petticoats and a big blue ribbon. But I knew that my mom took money she could not afford. And she was so proud of this. So I remember going downstairs and saying, "Mom, I love it. It's just perfect." And on the night of the dance, I waited, because school was a 4 or 5 minute walk. I waited till I thought most people would be in. And then I kissed my mom goodbye. And I went the back way to the school and I sat in a field behind the school. And I watched my friends going in and they were all wearing the right dress. They all had the little straight dresses and I knew I'd made the right decision not going in. But I'd never felt so alone or so shamed in my life that I would never fit in. I was just wrong. And I came home and told my mom, "Oh, it was brilliant, Mom. It couldn't have been better." And then not so long ago, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, I was having this, it was kind of like a dream or a vision. And I'm walking through this field and I'm thinking, that looks a little bit like home. And suddenly I see Jesus and I've got on that blooming dress. I've got on that blue dress and I walk up to him and he takes my hands and he swings me round and round and round and he's smiling and laughing. And I don't think I've ever felt more beautiful in my life. That what I know about Jesus, that he speaks to depression, he speaks to shame, he speaks to I'll never fit in. I mean, think about where we are. I mean, one day, you know, that Jesus tells the disciples to get on the boat and he said, "We're going to the other side." Now to tell that to a Jew is a nightmare. Because the other side is where the Decapolis is. That's where it's unclean. There's herds of pigs. It's where the Gentiles are. No Jew would ever cross to the other side. But Jesus said, "Get in the boat." And this is Mark chapter 4. So they get in the boat and Jesus is having a nap, you know, and he's, the storm blows up, not like today, although we do hear the kind of gentle waves.
Thank you, Lord, for the sound effects.
Maybe this is how it started.
Attention to your story, and the waves are lapping now.
But it's interesting because they're terrified. And I mean, fishermen, but it obviously was an unusual storm. And they wake him up and say, "Lord, don't you care?" And interestingly enough, when Jesus stands up and says, "Peace, be still," it's exactly the Hebrew word he uses in Mark 1 to deliver a man in the temple from an evil spirit. It's this man stands up in the temple and Jesus says, "Silence, be still." It's the same exact same phrase. So that was not a regular storm on the Sea of Galilee, because on the other side was a man who was demon possessed. And Jesus got into the boat with his closest friends and went, and they're terrified. I mean, this is a 3 Advil moment for the disciples to go over there. And what I think is fascinating is the minute that Jesus steps his feet on the other side, this man who lives in the gravestones, he's totally an outcast. And when he's fully possessed, he has so much strength. He can tear things off. I mean, they chain him and he tears it off. But he runs to Jesus and he falls at his feet. And I'm thinking, why did he do that? Because the bottom line is he's never heard of Jesus. Jesus has never been there before, but the demons recognized him. And I think for the first time in a long time, that man felt the demons inside him go and pull back. And he ran and he fell at Jesus' feet. And the word "fell" isn't what I usually do, which means you tripped up. It is to fall in worship. He fell. He didn't know who Jesus was, but he knew the demons inside of me are afraid of you. And the scene is ridiculous. I mean, the demons beg, "Don't send us to the pit. It's not our time yet. What about if we go into the pigs?" And Jesus said, "Okay." So they go into the pigs and the pigs run off a cliff and drown. The people who are responsible for the pigs are running into town saying, "You know, you had 500 pigs this morning. Hands up anybody who's got no pigs now." I mean, it's craziness. But there is one place where there's peace, and it's this man. And all Mark tells us is he was found clothed and in his right mind. So whether Jesus is speaking to a storm outside your life or a storm inside your life, peace is found at the feet of Jesus.
Wow. We're going to continue with Sheila. You're here shooting a brand new series simply entitled My First Visit in Israel. And it's really Sheila ministering all over the country of Israel. For a little sneak peek, watch this.
Shalom, Mr. Zach.
Hi.
This is my friend Sheila.
Oh, thank you. Nice to meet you. I love your store.
Very good.
Excellent.
Very good.
This is beautiful.
Sheila, this is not for tourists. This is the real deal.
Wow.
These are not toys. These are
the real items, you know, used in Jerusalem through the time of the Second Temple and Jesus' time.
Yeah. Is there anything you could show me?
Actually, I just got this to do already.
Oh,
this is a first century Herodian type pottery anointment. So the lady that broke the anointment on
Jesus' feet?
Use something like this.
Use something similar to this.
This is priceless.
Yes.
No, it actually has a price, Sheila.
But it has a narrow neck, easy to break.
Oh, wow.
Feel it. It's very fragile.
I love these kind of things.
My God.
It's been buried in the ground for millennia, and we're connecting right now to something that someone at the time of Christ several thousand years ago was using on a daily basis.
Yes.
I love that connection.
And Israel allow yet to work with antiquities, you know, and to, you know, get something from the time of Christ.
You must be a very respected man in this area.
God is good to me. God is good to me. Yes. Yes.
Wow. Thank you.
Welcome. Nice to have you. Good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy the rest of Jerusalem.
Yeah, exactly. I'm loving this old city.
See you.
We are beside the still waters of the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, a lot of Jesus' ministry was here. You think about what happened just in the region, Nazareth, just this way, Capernaum just here, you know, Jairus's daughter, the Roman centurion who said, you don't even have to come to my house. The woman with the issue of blood, the extended hand healing, and lepers. This is the, let's call it the central location of Jesus' ministry. We're right here. This is the Sea of Galilee. This is not Laguna Beach. As much as Laguna Beach is nice, this is the Sea of Galilee. And your first visit here, and you're shooting a new series. So give me a sneak peek. Give me a few thoughts about...
Okay. So we went to Magdala.
Okay.
Where it's believed that Mary Magdalene was born and grew up. But in Magdala, there's this incredible painting or mural. It's in a room by itself. And so they wouldn't let me see it until it was timed for us to actually shoot something. And so I walk into this room and I look, and it's this woman with the issue of blood reaching out to touch the edge of Jesus' robe. And I mean, I literally wept. It was just so overwhelming because there's so much that's going through my mind about what this woman's life is like. Like when we think of Jews in the time of Jesus, we think of the Ten Commandments. No, there were 613 rules, 613 laws. Interestingly enough, 248 things to do, 365 things not to do, which meant a godly Jew woke up every day of his life, 365 days, 248 is the number of bones in the human body. So every day he woke up thinking, with every bone in my body, I need to fulfill the law of Christ. I don't get a day off.
Wow.
And so the fact that this woman, who is not ritually unclean, I mean, you're not even allowed to talk to a woman in public during those times. I mean, if you were walking through the marketplace and you saw Matt coming, you're not allowed to talk to him because you're in public. But the fact that this woman is unclean, she has been alone for 12 years. And interestingly enough, Jairus, who is very well respected in, you know, the local synagogue, the leader, his daughter is 12 years old. So for the length of time this woman has been suffering, this girl has been loved and cared for and spoiled and done exactly what you've done with your children. Interesting contrast. And so when Jesus gets out the boat after going to the other side, it's the same day. He gets back out and Jairus comes and says, my daughter is dying. Please, will you come? And Jesus turns and begins to go, and the crowd following him. So here you have this woman. She's heard about Jesus. And most people think, well, she didn't really know what Jesus could do, but there's an interesting scripture. The last book in the Bible before there's 400 years of the silence of God, there's a scripture that talks about the Lord rising with healing in his wings. The Hebrew word they use for wings is the word that's used for the tassel at the end of the garment. So she's grown up believing when Messiah comes, he will rise up with healing, even in the fringe of his garment.
Oh my goodness.
And she's got one moment. What does she do?
Wow.
She knows if she touches anybody, she's broken the law. And what she thinks, according to the law, is if I touch Jesus, I've just made him unclean, and he can't go and heal Jairus' daughter. She doesn't know. No, when we come in our filthiness and our sinfulness and we touch Jesus, he transforms us. He makes us clean. But she doesn't know that. So she reaches out and she touches the edge of his garment, and immediately she's healed. And Jesus stops. Now, Jairus is still walking on, and suddenly it's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Come on, come on. My daughter's dying. But Jesus stops. Because he knows the difference between being bumped into and being touched in faith. And he says, who touched me? And waits and waits. And she's got two choices. She could go home knowing she's healed. 12 days later, she could present herself to the priest. He'll declare her clean and she can re-enter society. So what does she do? We read that she falls at the feet of Jesus and tells him the whole truth. And Jesus says to her, daughter, that's the only time in the whole New Testament canon that Jesus addresses one woman. And she's called a woman in the crowd. That's why it's so amazing to me. You know, you hear about all these other women in scripture. No, she's just a woman in the crowd, but she's not that to Jesus. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. So he's owned her in front of this crowd. And not just go home. She could have gone home, but would she have lived the rest of her life thinking, I stole a miracle? You know, would she have lived with shame the rest of her life? But because she told Jesus the whole truth, he said, go home in peace. And I think that's just one of the most amazing things to me. And I wonder, have you ever told Jesus the whole truth? See, sometimes we think, well, you know, I'll present my best side. You know, I'll show Jesus that I'm doing my best. You know, I promised I'd read my Bible every year and every day, and I'm trying, but I'll give you my best. But all the stuff that torments you, the stuff that just makes you feel like I'll never be enough, I'll never be good enough. I just want us to learn from this sister of ours that we'll meet one day who fell on her face before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And when you tell Jesus the whole truth, you've made space for grace and for the peace of Christ to overwhelm you. And I've often wondered, was she there that day when they crucified Jesus? Did she stand there and think, you have no idea. You have no idea what you are doing or who this man is. But that's why I say to the person who feels, I'm not good enough. I'll never be enough. I've blown it too many times. No. Jesus sees you, and you will find peace at his feet.
When you said the word peace, I just kind of glanced around, and I mean, I literally have been to this sea dozens and dozens and dozens of times, and it is just literally sitting here perfectly still on a perfectly still evening. I think it's time. Why don't you pray for people from this beautiful location, this beautiful time?
Okay, I love this. That's why we do this. We don't just fly because we need frequent flyer miles. We're here because we want you to know the same Jesus who walked on the shoreline, who was in a boat on that water, is the same Jesus who's coming after you. And you may think, well, you don't know me. You don't know my story. No, that's true. I maybe don't know your story, but Jesus does. Do you remember the woman at the well where she'd been married, you know, five times, and now the guy she's living with isn't even her husband? You know, but she's just grateful to have a roof over her head. And when she says to Jesus, where should we worship? We Samaritans think we should worship here, but you Jews say here. And Jesus says something interesting that has been life-changing for me. He says, the time is coming, in fact, it's here right now, when those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth. That little word truth in the Greek, aletheia, means with nothing hidden. That's how Jesus defines worship, in spirit, with nothing hidden. So Father, right now, I just pray for every single person within the sound of our voices, whether they're watching or listening. Father, I pray that by your grace, you would give them the ability to fall at your feet and to tell you the whole truth. We know you know already, Lord. We know you know already. Like that woman who thought this could be the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life, but she reached out and touched and she was healed. And then, see, she just wanted to be healed. Jesus wanted to make her whole. There's a difference. You can be healed of things. Jesus wants to make you whole. So I just encourage you now, tell him the whole truth and then hear him say to you, daughter, son, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace.
Experience the life of Christ alongside Sheila Walsh on her first journey through the land of promises and prophecies, Israel.
This is not, for me, a sightseeing trip. It's a sign-seeing trip.
Explore the Holy Land with Sheila as she travels down the ancient limestone pathways, offers a prayer at the Western Wall, sails the Sea of Galilee, scales the Mount of Beatitudes, and follows the Via Dolorosa. Join Sheila from wherever you are on TBN and the TBN app.
If you can, take us back over 2,000 years ago.
Actually, we're really sitting on the ruins of a synagogue. And the Torah and the words of the Lord were declared here from this place. So this is really a place that is so alive during the Saturdays and during the week.
It gives me chills. Why don't you and I go take that little journey and let's go see that prophetic painting for ourselves.
Forever, of course, like that is very, very unique and powerful.
It says everything.
And the presence is so thick.
So you know what I love about the story about the woman who had the thought that if I could touch the hem of his garment, she was taught that the healing in his wings was in the tassels. And I've always thought that as we are today, Christians, Christ followers today, if there would be somebody that's living now that could touch Jesus like she did, not just bump into him, but to actually reach out and touch him to where he would say in the heavens, whoa, who touched me? Somebody just took a step of faith, and it was by their faith that they have touched me. I just felt power go up from me, you know? And I think we could actually do that today. And people just believe well and believe hard, no matter what their circumstances are, no matter what's happening in their lives right now, but just to believe that no matter what, God is in control of my situation. He's in control of everything that affects me. And I will believe and I'll trust him for the best thing that he can do for me, because God knows what we need more than we know for ourselves than what we need.
And the interesting thing too that day, Laurie, was nobody around them got it. The disciples were like, what are you talking about? Everybody touched you.
Yeah.
And Jesus knows the difference between a casual touch and somebody reaching out in faith, believing. And that's what happened to her. And she goes on, I mean, a lot of the early church fathers talk about her. They call her Veronica. I mean, I didn't even know, you know, what her name was, but she went on to become this great woman of faith. And it starts with one touch. That's the thing that blows me away. You know, one of the other things I think is fascinating and is with John the Baptist, when he had spent his whole life preparing, and he was the one who saw when Christ came out of the water, God owning him as my son. But when he ends up in prison, he thinks, did I get it all wrong? And that is, to me, is when you think you've obeyed God, you've done everything, and it doesn't go the way you think it should go. Because Jesus wasn't doing the things that Isaiah said he would do. And he's in a dark prison, and he's like, did I get it wrong? And then Jesus sends a message back, quoting all the Isaiah passage 61, but he misses out the part about the prisoners will be set free. Because it's like, I'm not coming for you,
not
John.
Not coming for you.
And I wish I could explain.
Yeah.
And then he says, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Well, you still love a God you don't understand.
What I take away from what you guys have been talking about is, you know, this is the location of Jesus' ministry. You know, I mean, we're on the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
Jesus was cooking fish somewhere around here. I mean, right?
Yes. Everything that comes to mind about what happened here and the different things. But there's a really interesting point kind of emerging from what I got, you know, from you guys talking is ultimately Jesus' first part of his ministry, nobody knows who he is.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knows in this area, they were deer in the headlights. Mm-hmm. And Jesus had to initiate everything.
Yeah.
He had to show who he was. He had to initiate all this miraculous things until the lady that you're talking about mm-hmm. is a level up in scripture. It's a leveling up where that was the first time recorded where someone basically initiated the healing and Jesus didn't.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting thing. And in this area, there's even another level up. She felt like she was going to receive as she touched the hem of his garment. Okay. She did.
Yeah.
Okay. But then there's even somebody a little bit later, just after that scripture, who says, you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word.
Speak the word only.
Okay. Those two stories are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
For the time we're sitting here at this shore doing what we do, think of what those two stories mean. You can initiate something from God. Mm-hmm. You can walk up and take it. And you don't have to live in that time because you can speak the word and watch it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why television is so important.
Yeah.
You don't have to be sitting right here with us. You don't have to, we don't have to all get in a time machine and go back to the time when Jesus walked here. And guess what? It doesn't matter where you are. And Sheila, that's an important piece, you know, because some people think, what you have to say, what does that have to do with me? I live in another part of the world. Just kind of start shaping some of that for the viewers that are watching. And again, most peaceful, beautiful, calm, no wind,
no
sitting
at,
there's just, you know, I mean, there's a few birds flying around, a few fish swimming around, but other than that, it's beautiful. And what an amazing afternoon, evening here in and beside the Sea of Galilee. Moon is rising over our shoulder, by the way. And so, just kind of take your liberty. Do what you do. Do what you love to do.
You know, I love the fact that you contrast those two, that they go together, because the centurion, he wasn't even a Jewish person. Because Jesus said, I haven't found faith like this anywhere in Israel.
It might be Jesus' greatest compliment in scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, but the fact that this man had seen enough, and he was a commander, you know, he said, listen, hey, I know how it works. I tell people what to do and they go do it. So I don't need you to come. I just know if you speak the word, then that's going to happen. It's so, and it did happen in that very moment. So for those of you who are thinking, well, if I could be there with you in Israel, if I could sit here in the sea, beside the Sea of Galilee, maybe I would have the faith. I don't know where you're sitting watching this from. Maybe you're by yourself. Maybe you're sitting with your family. Maybe you're in the worst days of your life. Or maybe you're in the best days of your life. Maybe you've got a lot of money and you think, I've been blessed, but I still feel so empty. Or maybe you're struggling to pay your apartment rent this month. It doesn't matter where you are, because the amazing thing is, because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit, you can reach out wherever you are right now. You don't need any special prayers. You don't need any special words. You get to come as you are. That's what I love. And do you know what one of the most powerful prayers in the world is? One word, Jesus. When you simply speak his name, Jesus. You know, when I was 19 years old, I was living with severe depression. And not just depression, a sense of worthlessness. If you could have got to the basement of my soul, the foundation stone would have said this, I'm too broken to be loved. And I remember one night, I was in seminary. I wasn't even just in a regular college. I was in seminary, training to be a missionary in India, which is where I wanted to go. But I was in such despair that I climbed up onto the embankment of a railway station, and I could see the tracks underneath. It was very high. And I remember feeling so desperate. But do you know what saved me? One word, Jesus. That's what I did. I remember it was pouring with rain, and I'm standing there with my arms open and I'm weeping, and I'm simply saying the name, Jesus, Jesus. And I felt the love of God wrap around me and carry me off that bridge. And I remember getting on the train and going back to my seminary and thinking, what just happened? Who do I tell? I can't tell anybody I did that. You know, if I tell them, I'll be kicked out of seminary. But you know who I did get to tell? I got to tell Jesus. I got to say thank you. Thank you that when I wasn't even looking for you, you came looking for me. And I'd been in relationship with the Lord for years, but I was still felt so desperate inside. So whoever you are right now, I know some of you watch us in prison, and I love that. You could get down on your knees in your cell and simply say the name Jesus, and he will reach out. Maybe you feel like, Lord, I don't even have the strength to reach out and grab hold of the edge of your garment. Why don't you just kneel down and let him reach out and grab hold of you? You are not alone. Jesus loves you. He knows you. He sees you. You are not anonymous. And if you don't know him, all you have to simply say is, Jesus, I want to know you. I know I'm a sinner. You don't have to convince me of that. But I believe, I'm starting to believe that you are the Son of God, that you actually did die not that far away from here. And you were crucified for my sin, but you rose again on the third day. And if you're in a Friday moment, let me tell you, Sunday is coming. Hold on. And you pray that simple prayer. And if you wonder if there's noises going on, there's a party going on in heaven. And your name is on every one of the balloons. Tell somebody. Go to church. Find a good church. Don't look for a perfect one, because we'll be in it. So it's not going to be perfect. Just get, join in. We're all going home. Come with us. Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a beautiful way to end this beautiful evening. I kid you not, I've been here many, many, many times. And the simplicity of this moment and the stillness and the quietness of this moment is really profound to me, because I've actually never experienced it like this. I mean, this is the Sea of Galilee, famous for storms and wind and rain, and you know, here we are.
I see all of this and I see the brush, and I can't help but think of your mom. Mm-hmm. She
she walked. She did a beautiful video, and I know so many people probably watching have seen that story, and that story of her coming out of depression has helped so many people because she felt she was in that space of I am all alone. She lived in Southern California and she just thought, I'll just go to the beach and I'll just walk out into the water and keep going. And she talks about this area and seeing Jesus out here, you know, and I just think that when the Bible says, David said, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? Where can I get out of your presence? If I fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, there you are. If I make my bed in hell, how many of you have made your bed in hell today? And there you sit. There you are, Jesus. There's your presence. You cannot get out of the presence of the Lord. A lot of times we think we have to welcome his presence. We can't get out of his presence, you know? And I just think that if we can come to grips, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with us. He always knows where to find us. And your story, Sheila, just gets to everybody, you know?
I didn't know that your mom thought that because I did that. The night that I was hospitalized, before I went to the hospital, I drove down to Virginia Beach, parked my car, left my shoes beside the car, and walked into the water until it was up to my chest. And the most overwhelming thing for me was the Lord saying to me, you don't have to do this. I did this. I went under the water so that you can rise up. Mm. And
it's crazy.
Think of the ministry that came out of your mom and dad.
Yeah.
And how the enemy wanted just to take her out. But God used her and produced you, and we're all so glad.
We're so happy.
No, I'm serious.
This area here is meaningful in a bunch of ways. Not only is it just the kind of center of what Jesus did while he was on earth, but it is, you know, representative of healing to a lot of people, and including my mother. And she was in a deep depression and came out of it seeing Jesus with his disciples and laughing, and she woke up laughing and was completely healed of depression and testified about it for the rest of her life. And
a lot of people wonder why she would laugh so much and she was so filled with joy
or giggle or
and it
whatever.
Was like, you have no idea. You have no idea where I was, you know.
Okay, as we kind of wrap up, I just want to remind everybody, you're here shooting a brand new series. Just can't wait to see this. And so just if you were doing this little kind of promo piece, what is the series and what are you wanting the viewers to get out of what you're accomplishing while you're here in this beautiful part of Israel?
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you so much for letting me do this. I mean, it's literally life-changing. I thought I would, I mean, I remember saying to Barry, I'm sure the minute I got off the plane, I'll burst into tears. But I felt this sense of this holy reverence as I've been walking along the Sea of Galilee. And I'm thinking what happened here and what happened here and sharing some of my favorite stories from scripture that now I just see with different eyes. I feel like the guy where he was blind and Jesus spat in some mud and rubbed his eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Mm-hmm. And he did, and then he could see. That's what I feel like. I feel like I've been walking through life with mud in my eyes, and being here, I see things differently, which is honestly why I'm praying a bunch of you will come with us. When we come back here, we'd love to take you with us because it's life-changing.
Join TBN for 10 life-changing days immersed in the stunning ancient beauty of Israel.
It's all here. This is Israel.
Experience sacred places where the Bible comes to life. The Old City of Jerusalem, the Western Wall, the Mount of Olives, the Sea of Galilee, the Garden Tomb, and so much more.
This is such an incredible place to be. Make your plans now to join us November 20th through 30th.
Well, I'm so excited to be here with you and excited to come to Israel with you for the TBN tour.
It's not just a trip, but a journey to the extraordinary land of the Bible.
This could be the greatest trip of your life.
Find out more at tbn.org/Israel2023 or call 855-652-4304.
As you have been here shooting my first visit to Israel, which is a very clever title, by the way.
Thank you. Thought
of myself. My first visit to Israel. We wanted to just give you a little sneak peek, and we'll come back, say goodbye. Just one second. Watch this.
What an absolute joy to be able to sing one of my favorite hymns in the oldest Protestant church in the Middle East. I hope you enjoy it.
I want to get your final thoughts on my first visit to Israel. You're kind of the series that you're shooting. But I would like you just to kind of notice that there's hardly even a ripple on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it's like perfectly calm. This is the moment that reminds me of when he said, "Peace be still." Yeah. And what a beautiful way to kind of end it. Beautiful evening now here in the kind of beside the Sea of Galilee here. Capernaum's just here. Tiberias is just there. Nazareth is over here. The Mount of Beatitudes is right back over there. We're right in the thick of things. Your final thoughts on the series you're shooting, My First Visit to Israel.
You think you know the stories, but when you set your feet where Jesus set his feet, it changes everything. I will not be the same again.
Wow.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.